comes to this time of the year, I tend to think concerning my own situation, what have I done for the Lord? Another year has slipped away. We've had opportunities. And what have we done for the Lord? And that is a question that every one of us probably ask ourselves as we come to this particular time of the year. And you look over there in the book of Proverbs, we read about the field of the slothful. And everything that we read concerning that field of the slothful is discouraging and points to defeat and in many ways shows a situation that didn't need to come around. Because if the slothful hadn't been slothful, then the wall wouldn't have been broken down and the weeds wouldn't have got a foothold. And whenever the wall is broken down, all kinds of things can come in. And when you come to this time of the year and think about what have we done, you can think of the danger of being like the slothful. No one can do everything. In fact, he's a fool who tries. Can't do everything. But everyone, as we said so often, could do something. And we've often emphasized the fact that you're attending the meetings is in itself something very, very important. So much goes on in one year in the Lord's work. And so much to be done. And when there's more people helping, then it means less of a burden for other people. But when you consider the other side of the coin, as it were, and you think about what James had to say, over there in James chapter 2 and verse 17, he said there, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Interesting words. He's not in any way saying that you need works to be saved, but he's saying if you're genuinely saved, then there will be some works. There will be some works. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by my works. You see, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and receiving that salvation inevitably affects our behavior. And it changes us. And faith shows itself. And has always been the case, folks, and it will never be any different. Faith shows itself in what we do. In what we do. And I read with you this morning there about Noah. And Noah was certainly one that showed his faith by his works. He earned a place in Hebrews chapter 11. He goes down in history for all time as a man in the most difficult circumstances who was well pleasing to the Lord. He did live in a day of grace, but not too many people were interested in grace. And Noah and his family were those who were saved. He lived in a time when there had been great debauchery and sin on every hand. You can read about that in Genesis, the book of Genesis. And yet in spite of all that, we have to say that Noah stands out in history as a man who showed his faith by what he'd done. Now you and I will never do the things that he was able to do. And we don't have to. But the Lord would have us to do something. And perhaps now coming to the end or near the end of 2023, it will be encouraging for us this morning just to look together at what I've called industrious Noah. Industrious Noah. I want to say concerning this man, first of all, that he had an ear for the voice of God. He had an ear for the voice of God. Now consider the day in which he lived. And no one wanted to know about his religion. And all around him, there were the calls of and the confusion of voices. Everywhere he looked, there was all kinds of calls. Over there in 1 Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. So many kinds of voices in the world. And none of them is without significance. And folks, as you and I go out on a Monday morning, and wherever we go, and whatever our responsibility and duty is that day, I'm sure you will agree with me that you are surrounded by confusing voices. Voices that would sometimes call you away from doing anything for the Lord. Voices that would come and plague you day after day and seek to have you cast a doubt even over what you're doing for the Lord. It was no different for Noah. But the important thing was that he had an ear for the voice of God. Over there in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 7, these words are recorded that we might learn from the experience of others and that we do not be hardened to the voice of God. Let it not be said, folks, concerning any of us, as we come to the end of another year, that we've become hardened to the voice of God. Whether it's regarding respect for his day in its rightful place, or his word, or the precepts of his word, or anything else. Because it says there in Hebrews 3 and verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Now, the wherefore always brings you back to what has gone before. And it says in verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house. And we are part of that house. We're part of the church of Christ. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost has said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And I'm sure you are no different from me or any of the elders here or anyone else, that you hear those voices. Voices that would be subtle and perhaps whisper in your ear to take the easiest path that suits yourself. That's the way of the world. Just leave it up to somebody else to do it all. That is the way of the world. So many times I'm talking to people now in their places of employment. And I have often said it's no wonder businesses go down. People in places of employment. And in those places there are people there on full wages and sometimes very, very good wages. And they're absolute bluffers. When you hear the stories of them spending hours lying sleeping in the company van on the side, heading in from the side of the road, and taking the easiest path in their worldly, in their secular employment. But the voice will come to you and I in God's work and say, just take the easiest path. Why bother? Don't stress yourself too much. That'll be one voice, to take the easiest path. But what about the voice to encourages us to go for worldly applause, recognition? Glad it was never my idea to be recognized anywhere. In fact, I was always very happy to be working away in the background until the Lord led as he did, and now sometimes I'm not in the background. But worldly applause means nothing, folks, to the believer. We labor for the well done of God, but that voice will come and say, you just don't worry about the meetings, just do what suits yourself. What about the voice of disillusionment? Another year's nearly gone and not as many people have been saved as you'd like to see saved. Maybe some family that you've been praying for, maybe you've invited them along here to the meetings quite often, maybe even several times during the year and they haven't come. They haven't come along. And there's disillusionment. You think, well, I'm not going, like Jeremiah, I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. Well, folks, in all of that, do we not need to have an ear for the voice of God? An ear for the voice of God. And I'm speaking here about something that can affect anyone, even those who have known notable victory before in serving the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we have some details regarding the experience of Elijah. And if you look at verse 11, you will see here that Elijah now is very, very discouraged. He has mentally exhausted, that's for sure. He is disillusioned because he came to Jezreel and the great work that he saw the Lord do when he dealt with the prophets of Baal. It hasn't been carried on down here, and he feels alone in all of this. And in verse 11 it says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." And then it says, "And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so. Now remember the state of Elijah. He's despondent. He's looking in on himself. He is discouraged. He is fearful. And now it says there, "And it was so when Elijah heard it," that is the still small voice of the Lord. It says that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering in of the cave. And that verse shows us something very, very important. Elijah was a downcast man. He didn't know what the future held for him. In fact, in some of these verses, he didn't want a future in doing anything on earth. He wanted the Lord to take him away. He was so far down. But it says here that he went out and stood at the entering in of the cave. He was willing to listen. He was willing to listen. And I have to ask myself as I come toward the end of another year, have I an ear for the voice of God? Plenty of other voices, any amount of them. But have I an ear for the voice of God? And maybe there's someone listening in the building or somewhere else, in sermon audio, you're listening, and the voices seem to have been so loud that have been calling to you. Voices to pull away from the Lord's work, what you're doing. Voices to become totally self-centered in your thinking. Maybe even voices of disillusionment, thinking you're wasting your time. How important it is that we ask the Lord then. When you consider industrious Noah. Remember Noah, he was building here an ark when there not only had there never been a flood, there'd never been rain. And he was building an ark, and it wasn't built in a week or two. And he was an industrious man doing what the Lord says. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear." Simply, folks, he believed the word. He believed what God says. And we would all love to see more things happening in God's work, not just in Ackley, and yes, in Ackley, because we have a broader vision than that, we like to think. We think of other congregations, of our missionary work. We would love to see more people coming to the Lord. We would love to see a greater growth in many, many areas of the Lord's work. But we believe the word that the Lord is able to do all this. And we believe that his voice would say to us today to keep on sowing the word. It's so important then to have an ear for the word of God. That's the first thing that we notice here about industrious Noah. He believed the word. He believed what the Lord said. But also notice here in this, that Noah, just like you and I, would have had to battle with human reason. God has given us the ability to reason, and it's important that we do that. But we need to make sure that we reason in a way that will glorify him. Over there in Genesis chapter 6, I'm just going to read to you a little bit. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and pitch it without. And then there are a lot of other details there. And look at verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Human reason would have said, well, hold on a minute. Is this not a mistake? You put ourselves in his position and there hasn't been any rain. And the Lord's telling now to build a massive boat because you're going to need it. And human reason would perhaps kick in and say, well, this is just too far. And that would have been a natural battle for many a man. If you look at the fact that the early part of that chapter, you will see that the Lord says there in verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's evidence all around him of hardness, of wickedness, of godlessness and God rejection everywhere that he looked. And yet wouldn't human reason have kicked in here? And you know that has always been a problem. It's always been a problem. I'm sure you have all heard of William Carey, who went to India. He didn't start out intending to go to India. But folks, just as the Lord does today, the Lord really burdened William Carey for the land of India. And whenever he began to tell people about it, nearly every one of them rubbished his ideas. And even those who should have been encouraging him and who were close to him in this life, instead of encouraging him in what he was doing, they told him that he would need to take another look at things. In other words, they told him to wise up. In this day, in his day, just think of when it was and how difficult this would have been. But he believed that the Lord was leading him to India. And what he began to involve himself in was preparation for a work in India that simply didn't exist, and it didn't seem as though it could be looked after in any way. But it was faith. And he began to prepare by faith, and all around him, human reason from everybody else almost, and perhaps from sometimes with himself, human reason was saying, don't go. Don't do it. You think of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was the man who did the great work in China. And it is said that when Hudson Taylor talked about going to China, that some of his nearest and dearest, they continually talked about him as a fool. There didn't seem to be a clear way. All the things that needed to come into place, they weren't there. But Hudson Taylor believed with all of his heart that the Lord was leading him to China. And just as Carey went to India, Hudson Taylor went to China. Would human reason not have been a big, big stumbling block? Because again, I mentioned the fact that God would have us to reason, and we need to use reason, but not to the detriment of serving the Lord. Over there in John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 20, it says, see, John, see where we are here, just a minute. John chapter 10, yep, verse 20, it says, well, I'll read verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Now, Christ, if you look at the verses before that, and we'll not take time to do that, he said that he is the good shepherd in verse 11. Then he's go on to say that the shepherd, that they hear his voice and they follow him. And then he goes on to say here that he takes his life from him. That no man takes his life from him, but he lays it down in verse 10. Then verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews of these sayings, And many of them said, he hath a devil. He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Some people thought that kind of thing about William Carey and about Hudson Taylor. And folks, while they may not say it, they might think it about you as you put yourself out to serve the Lord. Over there in the book of Acts, chapter 26, Acts 26 and verse 24, Paul here is in the midst of those who are no friend of the gospel, and he's been speaking about Christ's suffering in verse 23, and then in verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. People think you're not wise. You know, whenever you go into the Whitfield College of the Bible and you give up your paid employment and you go in there and you don't get any pay at all, and maybe you have a wife or maybe some children, and you go in there to do that, Christians, by and large, understand what you're doing. But some people think you've lost the plot to go to do that. To go to study something that they don't believe, to go to tell a lot of other people who don't want to hear you. Human reason. And maybe during 2023, the thought has come to someone again listening, maybe not here, but maybe somewhere. The thought has come, maybe you're just a little group of people. Don't bother. Why would you? Human reason would have been something that Noah had to confront, and yet he's Noah the industrious because he believed the word of God here. He moved with fear and prepared the ark to the saving of his house. But I want to move on here and say something else, that Noah knew the importance of honoring God above men. Noah was quite a lonely man because he didn't have many Christian colleagues to help him there. There was just his family there along with him. And folks, whenever we're alone or in a minority, and I understand that there are young people here and it can be very, very difficult, but whenever it is difficult and we feel we're alone, it's important to remember that we're not alone. I can turn you again to that passage there that I read earlier in 1 Kings 19. We had Elijah, mighty man, then he just wanted to die, and then he was willing to listen to the Lord. And as he comes out and listens to the Lord in verse 13, he goes on then to talk to the Lord in verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And then he says, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He thought it was just, he got into that mindset. And he felt so isolated that he thought, well, there is only him. But that was not true. Because we read here in the passage that there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And older person, younger person, and maybe you're feeling the heat of the day just where you are, and we're not in any way talking down to you or patronizing you or anything, but whenever the difficulties come there in your lonely walk with the Lord, remember you're not alone. Yes, remember the Lord is with you, but remember that as a minister, I'm praying for you. The elders will be praying for you. Your family who are saved will be praying for you. And you are never alone. You see, Noah had to determine that he would honor the Lord above men. I'm not sure how I would have reacted in his position. You might have thought, well, I'll do many things, but I'm not going to build an ark. Don't need one. And things can't change so much that we're going to need this. But you see, he believed the word. And there's no doubt that there were, over all those years of building and preparing, little times of discouragement. Little times when there's a question mark in his mind, is it worth it? Am I mistaken after all? But he always kept getting back to that point where he knew he needed to honor the Lord above men. And that's something I think that's very important today. We are to give honor, I know, to those in authority. And we've looked at that before. But preeminently and primarily, every believer must honor the Lord above men. Above men. If you look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says there, Paul here was enumerating the problems. He said, we are troubled on every side. And troubled simply means to be pressed. And perplexed means doubting, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then he goes on there to emphasize the importance of looking to the Lord and leaning upon the Lord and continuing to live for the Lord. He suffered opposition, but Paul was another man who, in all of the circumstances that he found himself in, always remembered that he had to honor the Lord above men. You and I have to respect people, and that's right. And we have to honor those to whom honor is due. That is right. But we always honor God above all men. And remember Noah's situation here. He was in a very, very small minority. And he still honored the Lord. Remember Elijah on another occasion in his life. Remember he prayed. Prayed that there wouldn't be any rain and then there was none. Then he prayed that there would be rain that didn't come. Kept on praying. He kept on praying. And he kept on praying, and then eventually there was a cloud the size of a man's hand. And maybe you're praying for something and you don't see that cloud the size of a man's hand even at this moment in time. Will we honor him by praying? And we honor him by trusting him. And we honor him by, just like Noah, you could say concerning Noah that Noah took sides with God when no one else wanted to know. Noah took sides with God, and God sent the flood, and he sent the judgment. But Noah was in the ark with his family because he decided to honor God above men. And if you, whatever you and I decide to do regarding that will affect our family, not just ourselves. It's important for me as a Christian man to always remember that. Whatever we decide to do doesn't just affect me. It affects other people. And it affected Noah's family. But he honored the Lord, and the others were all left behind. I want to mention one other thing, and I'll be brief with this. Noah was a man here who believed in holding forth hope. He was a preacher of righteousness. If you look at that verse again in verse 7, it says, he prepared the ark to the saving of the house by the which he condemned the world. Do you see the word condemned there? The word condemned means to leave without excuse. So in honoring the Lord in the way that he did, in believing the Lord in the way that he did, and building the ark as he was instructed to do, he left all of those who were left behind without excuse. He had works to back up his faith. And that's what we're at this morning. He had works to back up his faith, and he sought to do what he could to show men and women that what he believed was real. Noah prepared the ark to the saving of his house, the Bible says, and he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And I trust that you and I, as we seek to honor the Lord, that the Lord will use what we do to speak to others. Actions speak louder than words. Or someone sent me something the other day, and it said, a picture is worth a thousand words. A picture is worth a thousand words, and our actions so often speak louder than words. Industrious Noah. What a mighty man he was, folks, when you consider it all. And what he did in the midst of the people who didn't care. And it all boils down to this, that he had faith in God. He believed what God said. And I trust the Lord will help you. And he will help me to continue to do what we can. And to be industrious. Because again, you can't do everything. We wouldn't expect anyone to, but we can all do something. We have all our own responsibilities as ministers, elders, committee men, Sunday school teachers, Bible class teachers, whatever, and everyone else, something that we can do for him. May the Lord help us in these days to seek to be industrious like Noah.